This morning we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll look at a few other places too, but that's where we are going to start out today, is Matthew chapter 5. And the title of the message this morning is just entitled Lighthouse. Lighthouse. Let's go ahead and pray and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our veterans. Thank you for all that they have done, all that they've done to serve the country and to protect us. And I thank you for those who gave their lives for service to the country, to keep us safe from those who would have destroyed righteousness and truth. And Father, we thank you for the day that we can have. Thank you for those who have come out today to be in your house to worship you. I pray that you would bless in our service. Pray that our hearts would be open to whatever you might have us to change, to be more Christ-like, to be more honoring to you. Lord, we thank you that you are the creator, the sustainer, the one who is in control of all things. So many times in this world, it seems like things are out of control, but we know that behind all, you are there making sure that all is done to your honor and to your glory, to your will, and we just have to trust you that, Lord, we know that the Scripture says in the end you will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords openly, and we just praise you for that. Thank you, and we look forward to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, during World War, during the Second World War, six airmen flew their planes from a flight deck of an aircraft carrier in the Atlantic Ocean. While they were on their mission, night came and the ship's radar system picked up an enemy ship in the area. Back then, the captain of the aircraft carrier gave the command to black out. No lights on the ship, no lights on the aircraft carrier, and all of the ships surrounding that would have blacked out their lights. So every light was turned off. Every light, no, there's no longer any way to identify where the ship is. So not long after, the planes returned from their mission. They couldn't see the ship, but knew that they were in the right area because of their instruments. So the first pilot radioed the ship, "Our mission is completed. We're coming home. Turn on the lights." The radio operator explained, "There's an enemy ship in the area. The command is blackout." Second pilot radioed the ship, "Just give us a few lights and we'll make it in." The radio operator replied, "Sorry, but we cannot. Lights would endanger the several thousand lives, not only the lives, but the ship itself, and the order is still blackout." A third pilot then radioed the ship, "Listen carefully. Just give us one light at the beginning of the runway and we'll try and make it in." The captain of the aircraft carrier gave another command, "Break radio contact." To those men in their planes, light was very important. Without light, they could not return safely to their ship. And there are many people in the world today that are spiritually in the same position. They are lost and have no light to guide them. They are lost in the darkness of sin. John 3:19, 20 says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." You know, sometimes we have to realize that those who are without Christ, it's not just that they, they're not, it says they hate the light. You know, and sometimes we think of them, people, as — I had a guy one time say, "Well, I'm hiring people that they're not enemies of God, they're just not Christians." Well, the Bible says if you're not a Christian, you're the enemy of God. And they don't like the light. "Neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved." They don't want to see the light because it shows them their sin. Why is it hard for you to get your unsaved friends and family to come to church? They don't want to see the light. They don't want to be convicted. They want nothing to do with light. If they come to church, they'll hear preaching, and that reveals that they're sinners. Verse 20 of John 3 says, all that do evil hate the light. They don't come to church because when they come, they'll hear the truth of God's word and be convicted by it. But without light, just like those airmen, they're lost. They're lost in the darkness. Nothing to guide them. What is the answer for this darkness? Well, we know what the answer for those airmen would have been, to turn on the lights. What can penetrate the darkness? In John 12:46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus Christ is that light. The world is lost in the darkness of sin, and Jesus Christ is that light. So as we look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, I'm going to read that now. Matthew chapter 5, 14, starting verse 14, says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, what can we learn from this passage that will help us be better lights? We must see that light has certain qualities that are essential for us to have if we are to be proper lights. As Christians, we are to be lights to a lost world. It says it there. We are to show those in darkness the safety. For those pilots, the safety was getting back on the aircraft carrier. That was where they would be safe. And for the lost world, safety is only in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But he has left us here to be that light. He says, now ye are the light of the world. You are the ones that show Jesus Christ to a lost world. Today, we're going to look at four qualities of light that we should have as Christians. And the first quality of light is just that it reveals. It reveals the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Verse 14 starts out by saying that we are the light of the world. You know, John 11:9 says, and are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. Jesus here states that physical light, the sun, helps men not to stumble. Light reveals danger in our path. When a while back I was walking down some stairs, I didn't turn on the light. Somebody else did that recently. I didn't turn on the light, and I just guessed, and I thought I was at the last step. And I took a step, and I wasn't at the last step. I took a big tumble. Oh, that hurt. Deb did the same thing just this week. Walking out the steps into the garage, didn't turn on the light. Oh, it hurts. Light helps us see the dangers. I remember one time we were living in Saskatchewan. Nicholas, our son, was into Legos at that time. I didn't realize that the hallway was littered with Legos. And I had been out in the living room and had decided to go into the bedroom. I normally went through, there was a bathroom that you could go through and then go into our bedroom. Well, I decided, my wife was already in bed, I was just kind of trying to sneak in, and because that was the side of the bedroom that my bed was on, I was going to try and sneak in that door and just quietly, I didn't realize Nick had scattered Legos all over. And I stepped down. Oh, you know, Legos are fun to play with, but they're not fun to step on. And I stepped down on that one, and then what you do is you try and jump off and then I stepped on more. And about halfway down that hallway, I'm stumbling and falling on Legos, and I think I ended up just falling on Legos. darkness, you just don't see what the real problems is when you're walking in darkness. And that's a picture of this world. They're stumbling around in the darkness, lost in sin, without any hope. You know, if I eventually turned on the light and I saw that, it was a minefield. And this world's walking through a minefield. And with no hope at the end. Since physical light keeps men from stumbling in the darkness, if we are light, we should be revealing the problems, the dangers to those around us. Proverbs 4:18-19 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." How are they going to know unless you reveal it to them? You are the light. You are the one that has to reveal that to them. Jesus left us here for that purpose, that we might reveal that what they stumble. So we are to reveal to the lost the danger of remaining in darkness. Walking in darkness has many negative effects. And I was thinking about that even last night, thinking of the many negative effects upon people today. Just think of the negative effect of walking in darkness, that our country is taking God out of society, taking God out of the schools. And what are all those negative effects from doing that? It leads to no respect for life. And we see that in abortions. We see that in people randomly taking people's lives and shootings and that. It's because we've taken God out of society. Because our whole society wants to walk in darkness. It's like they're just going around turning off the lights. Turning off lights all around. Pulling the Bible out of schools. Trying to take morality out of everything. And they're basically just walking down the street that was once lit with lights and pulling the shades down. And we see churches turning away from the truth. And them, it's still a building there and there's still people going there, but they're pulling down their shades of their building. And that church, that building, the people there are no longer a light to a lost world. And our country, you could see how our country's falling deeper and deeper into darkness and the effects. Drinking causes all kinds of problems. Auto accidents. My brother was killed by a drunk driver. Many of you may know people that were killed by drunk drivers. Health problems, family problems that's caused by drinking. Drugs causes broken homes, overdose, crime. Many end up in jail even because of drinking and drugs. The darkness that's in our society is prevailing at times, it seems. Immorality causes disease and broken marriages and adultery. But you know, these are all things that darkness that people are in this world. But there's one more, and there are many results of darkness, but there's one more result of walking in darkness that is eternal. And that is hell. The end result of them staying in darkness is eternity in hell. And I can tell you some negative effects on that. You lose everything for eternity. Eternal punishment. For eternal punishment. Eternal separation from God. Eternal regret from walking in darkness. People walking in darkness can't see or don't want to see that Jesus is the answer to all their problems. Now just stop and think, what would happen to our country if there was a great revival as in days of past, and you don't think it can happen again? It can. I'm sure they thought that back of the time during the Great Awakening, that things were so bad, that things were going so far to darkness, but it can again. Because we serve a great God. But our country is getting darker all the time. What are we as Christians doing to stop that? Are we revealing the darkness? Are we revealing those things? Well, light, the second quality of light is that it reproves. The biggest danger that the majority of mankind faces the fact that they are lost in spiritual darkness. Let's look at John chapter 3. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Very familiar passage here, John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Notice in verse 20 it says, they don't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. So light reproves. Light shows people the true light will not only reveal sin, it will reprove and rebuke sin. It will tell those who are walking in darkness that they are living in sin. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. We are not to just go along and just never say anything. That's one of the problems in our country today, is good people don't say anything. Good people don't stand up and say, we need to take a stand for what's right. And fathers, you need to do that in your families. Men of the church need to do that in the church. We need to be willing to reprove. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to reveal to a lost world that they are sinners and that sin has become between them and a holy God. We need to say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there's a movement today to just say that God is love, but leave out anything about judgment. Leave out anything about His holiness. Let's just come together in love. Well, God is love. And God loved you so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. But if God had to send His Son to die, it's because if He didn't, there's judgment awaiting those without Christ. And we need to realize that our co-workers, our friends, maybe our family, are lost in sin and they are in darkness, and we need to show them that they are sinners. You know, God hates sin. His love will not overrule His holiness. Psalm 7:11 says, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. So people need their lives exposed to the truth of God's word. And so light not only reveals and reproves, it also guides. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, I've noticed when you're driving around on a dark night, you know, it's all cloud cover and really dark night, but you can tell when the city's coming up. You know, you can see that glow up ahead of the city coming up. You can't hide it. Well, another thing that you can't hide normally are lighthouses. Lighthouses are placed in highly visible locations where they can do the most good. How many lighthouses have you seen placed 5 miles inland? They just don't do that. Lighthouses are placed in places where they can do the most good. Why do we send missionaries out to places like Cameroon? To send a light into a needy area. To send a lighthouse, to send a missionary. That's why the West Coast were there. West Coast were there to send the light into a needy area. You know, most times you don't send missionaries to go work in a church that's already 600 or 700 people. Missionaries go where there's the most need, and just the same lights are sent where there's the most need. Lighthouses are normally on a point of land. Look at Matthew 5:15. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Many of us sang the song as children, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How many of you sang that as a child? Yeah, many of us sang that song. And we all know, I mean, this passage is one of those passages that if we didn't know it was in the Scripture, we sang about it early on as Christians. I think many of us so many times will forget some of the very first basic truths we were taught as a Christian, as a young child. We probably weren't even Christians at that time, was that we need to let our light shine. Some of the first things that people in the past have thought, this is very important to teach our young children, that making sure their light is shining to all around. The implications is that we will not hide our light, but let it shine brightly so that others can see it and be saved. Notice, you don't place the candle under a bushel basket. We don't have bushel baskets really too much anymore. You don't place it under a 5-gallon bucket. You don't place it under some place where it hides all the light. It says you put it on a what? A candlestick. So you just don't even set it on the table itself. What's a candlestick do? It elevates that light. It gets it up so that everybody in the room can share in that light. That's what a candlestick does. It makes it so the light is even more useful. It elevates it and makes it more visible. It's not placed under a bushel. For our light to be visible, for our light to be useful, it needs to be that all the people in our circle of reference knows. We've told them about Christ. We've told them who He is and about their need. That's really what it's talking about when it talks about our light being visible. Let me ask you something. Is your light only visible part of the time? Are there times when you, as a Christian, kind of say, ooh, I don't like this situation very well. I don't think these people would be very happy that I'm a Christian. You kind of go, flip, shut off the light. And then you spend your hour or two. And then you go back out, flip, and turn it back on. Can you imagine a lighthouse out on the Great Lakes? Can you imagine that lighthouse? In the days past, before automation, people tended those lighthouses. There was a family that would live there. And their job, their only job really, was to make sure that light was on all the time. Can you imagine, would the shipping people that were out on the ships trust that lighthouse if every 3 or 4 days those people say, let's go into town tonight. Don't worry about the light. Ships would just get to the point where they don't trust them. It's an unreliable light. How reliable are we as Christians? How reliable is our light? Is it constantly flickering on and off? Maybe it's just a flicker. Maybe it's like, man, is that the lighthouse? I can't tell. It's just so dim. Does our light shine continually brightly? I think all of us could probably say, boy, there's times when maybe not even think about it, I just shut off my light. So that I don't have a, you know, stress on my life, or these people don't make fun of me, or whatever reason we kind of shut off our light. Again, 5:16 says, it says here in 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to make sure that our light is shining before men, because light not only reveals and rebukes, it guides. It guides men. Again, lighthouses have been used around the world for shipping. In Great Lakes, there are about 180 lighthouses. That's a lot of lighthouses, 180. And I'm not sure that's a little older statistic, but while we're on deputation, we visited with a guy who used to sail in the large, some of these large ships out on the Great Lakes. And I said, you guys probably sailed. I thought they went out to the middle of the lake and sailed so that they would be safe. That's what my thinking. Get out away from shore as far as you can so you'd be safe. He says, no, before they had GPS and all those things, on clear nights they actually sailed close to shore. And the reason they sailed close to shore was they navigated by those lighthouses. As long as they could see the lighthouse, they knew where they were. If the lighthouse wasn't working, they were in trouble. So they actually wanted to stay close to the light, because light guides. Again, 5:14 says the city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Are we being that light? Are we guiding others to Christ? Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How can people know the truth? How can they be guided to the truth if you're not doing your job as a lighthouse? Well, the fifth quality of light is that it brings people to the Savior. It brings people to the Savior. If your light is doing the job, it will attract other men to Christ. Have people come to the Savior because of your light? Stop and think about that. Have people come to the Savior because of your light? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, your light that you give reflects upon your Heavenly Father. Think about that. The light that you give reflects upon the Heavenly Father. If you're giving the right light, people will think right things about your God. The problem is, so many times we as Christians send mixed signals. It's like strobe lights. You know, they're just, and it's like, well, wait a second. What is that? Strobe lights kind of confuse people. And I wonder how many times we confuse other people by the light that we're giving. We one time act like a Christian, and the next time our testimony, then we blow up at somebody, or we get angry at somebody. And it's like, wait a second, I thought that's not the way a Christian is supposed to act. I don't know how many times I've talked to people who said, well, this person claims to be a Christian, but boy, they just don't act like a Christian. And that diminishes our light before a lost world. Jesus has sent us to be a light unto the lost world, and I know it's hard, but our light needs to be consistently shining. Other people, we want other people to look at us and say, boy, the God they serve, they've changed them. I want what they have. Let me ask you, in your life, do other people look at your life and say, they must serve a great God? Remember, there are people in this world who are lost in spiritual darkness. You may be the only light that they see. You may be the only Christian that they spend time with. The light was very important for those six airmen who were circling in the area they knew that the aircraft carrier to be in. The order had been given to break radio contact. There would be no light. That night, those planes circled until one by one they ran out of fuel, and they crashed into the sea. All of them were lost that night. They had requested light, but none came. When you hear that story, your heart goes out to those men who were serving their country and gave their lives for their country because there was no light. Let me ask you, does your heart go out to those who face the same situation all around? It's the same situation in the world we live. There are people all around you lost in darkness. You may be the only light that they will see. What does your light show them? Many are lost in darkness. Many are bound for an eternity in hell. They need to see your light. They need to see a life that is on fire for God. God has called us. He says, ye are the light of the world. Don't hide your light. They need it. Let me ask you, if others who know you were to describe your light as a Christian, what type would it be? Others around you, if they were to describe your light as a Christian, they spend time with you a lot, what would it be? Maybe your family, maybe your friends, maybe your co-workers. Remember, is it a city set on a hill? Would that be a description giving direction to all around about the truth of Christ? Would it be a candle on a candlestick elevated to give light to all those who are around? Would it be a candle with a hand cupped around it? I hope nobody sees me as a Christian. Or is it just, you'd write out, you have your basket, and you're just hiding it. I have light, but I'm afraid to let anyone know. God has sent you to be a light. I pray today that we would not be afraid to be the lights that God has sent us to be. Not be a flickering light, not be a on and off light. Sometimes we're Christian, sometimes we're not. You know, what depends on the circumstance I'm in. But let's be lights that shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I hope that's your testimony tonight, that men would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come before you this morning thankful that for those who are here today who are saved, that we saw the light that somebody else was not afraid to show the truth of the gospel, and that we were saved. That light, that testimony of somebody else was productive in our lives, and that we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for that. Thank you that you loved us and sent your Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, we ask for your help because we are not always the lights that we need to be. Probably with the best of us, there are times when our lights are flickering. Even the best of us sometimes want to cup our light and for fear or pride or whatever it is, we may cup our light and we're not the testimony that we need to be around people. We're not good lights. Father, I pray that you would help us to be the type of people that are always willing to guide others to Christ. That our testimony is always such that we would be a good testimony of your grace in our lives. Father, there's a lost world all around us. There's people in Delphus and Elida and Spencerville and all these communities that are lost. Whole communities given over to idolatry and sin and walking in darkness. Father, help us to be the ones who would be that shining light in the middle of darkness. Lord, we know that even a small candle can be seen for a long ways off if it's burning brightly and not hidden. Father, I pray that you would help us to surrender to your Holy Spirit. Give our will over to you, yours, Lord. And reach this community, these surrounding communities, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to love others the way you loved us and sent your Son. Help us not to be afraid of darkness, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You are the mighty God. You came to seek the lost. Help us to do our part that you've called us to do in reaching the lost in this community and all around this area. In Christ's name we pray.